From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams in for Steve Ryman. Thank you so much for joining us on ABQ Connect. Two of my friends, Dennis Popper and Steve Stucker, in studio with us today. Gentlemen, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Thank you. Happy to be here
again. It's always good to see you. Hey, let me tell you a little bit about these two gentlemen. Steve Stucker, obviously, is well-known throughout New Mexico. He's the co-chair for New Mexico Men of Honor, along with Dennis Popper. He's also the founder and president of Beds for Kids, a branch of Up Before the Sun Charities and Ministries. And by the way, you don't have to get up before the sun anymore, do you? Congratulations on your retirement, Steve.
I've been sleeping in till 4:35 o'clock.
Well, a little bit later in the show, I'm going to joke around. And I was talking to Dennis in preparation for the show. And I know that you both are intentionally doing stuff all the time. And I joked with Dennis earlier, and I'll tell you now, you're the hardest working retired guy that I know.
Trying to figure that out. I always joke, I didn't really retire. I just quit my TV career.
Quit your career.
So I could work in other areas of ministry.
Yeah, I also put a line in here, you're enjoying your retirement in your spare time.
Yeah, I am, little by little. It's been a bit over a month, almost 2 months, and I'm figuring it out step by step, but the ministry opportunities are coming fast and furious, and there's a lot going on. So maybe we'll talk about that at some future date.
The old harvest is plenty.
I hope so. You know, we're making ourselves available and starting to get some takers. So it's interesting.
I love it. Dennis Popper is employed by the labs, and he serves as a Bible teacher now for how many years? 20 plus?
You know, we've got a men's Bible study that we are marking 30 years this summer.
30 years,
yeah,
Dennis.
Yeah, so it's that I count that as a gift from God. It has nothing to do with me because I would have messed it up long ago. But God keeps pulling that into my life that we've got a group of guys that have we're living life together, and yeah. 30 years this summer.
And we should emphasize that this show really is about men living life together.
That's right.
And not just men at one church, men from all churches, because getting together and doing things in big groups and being able to go back and minister to your own body is really important. You can go to NM for New Mexico, nmmenofhonor.com, and you can find out about the event.
Yes.
We're going to be speaking about today, July 29th, and this is unusual.
Yeah.
9 in the morning on Saturday the 29th, Chip Lusko will be speaking. The title of his message is How to Change Your Life.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can find out details. The event is free.
Yeah, that's right.
At Grace Church.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Grace Church is at 6901 San Antonio Drive Northeast. And we're talking about living life together. So let's just jump right into it. Dennis, our culture defines success a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
How is culture interfering with our relationship with God and our call to lead our families? How is the culture interfering with that?
I love that question. You know, the thing that I wish other guys could see is there's a verse called "Taste and see that the Lord is good," and I wish the guys could see what I see so many times of what God does with faith. If you just in faith look at His Word and you believe in His Word and let the Lord lead you by the Spirit. And the world, the culture, is more about get what you can, when you can, and take whoever with you if you can, but don't let anybody get in your way of your goals in your life. And man, boy, that's empty. It really is empty.
So you would say the culture is about getting.
Exactly.
And being a Christian man is about giving.
There is power in that. It's the opposite, because also in Scripture, Jesus says to us, if you give your life, you gain it. But if you save your life, you will lose it. And that's so opposite of the world, of course. But see, guys, they need to get into the Word with other men to understand, what does that mean? I don't get that. But, you know, when the Spirit of God opens your eyes to truth, oh my gosh, there are so many treasures in there that you can live life to the fullest, and you'll be so surprised when the Lord opens your eyes to see truth.
And they're just a different kind of treasure, and these are treasures that I call double dipping, because we we benefit now. And we don't do these things with Jesus so that we get benefit at the moment.
Right.
We do it for our eternal treasure that we're building up in heaven.
I love that.
I have found again and again that when we try to live this life that Dennis is describing that honors the Lord, that puts him first, that we get treasure that goes beyond the Beamer or the house in Tanawan or the trip around the world, much, much more valuable than that. And usually it starts with the people that should be the most important in our lives, our children and our wives, our parents, our sisters and brothers, and those that we're in contact with. So it's really a great, beautiful richness.
I want to go back to this word success. The world is going to say you're successful if you have a great job or you drive the Beamer or you have a big house somewhere. What is success as a Christian man?
You know, I love that question too, and I answer that a lot of times with other guys, is that, you know, the way we look at success in our own eyes is so messed up without the Word of God. You know, to wake up every morning and know, hey, what's God going to do today? And you pray and ask, Lord, please use me in any way you can, because that job could go away, that Beamer could fall apart, that whatever it is that you are excited about and seems to get you going.
BMW was one of our great sponsors.
Right, we said, could list several could. Others. Yeah,
I said could. I didn't say would. But anyways, it just, you know, having a purpose in life and a purpose of why to wake up to see what God is going to do, like with this event coming up, we're excited about what God is going to do. You know, God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And when you plug into that, and it's an exciting life. And so, yeah, looking at life through the lens of Christ is exciting, and through the world's lens of those things come and go, and then you're left with nothing.
And Jim, you made me think of a good point too. It's not to say that we can't drive a Mercedes or a Lexus or a Ferrari. We're not saying that you need to, you know, strip yourself of everything that you own, that you can't have any pleasure. I have found just the opposite. And the more that we give, the richer God allows us to live. And as I said a minute ago, that wealth, that richness doesn't always translate into finances, but it's not that God doesn't want us to be successful. It's just that he wants us to live through the lens of, is what I do something that's going to always please Jesus?
Wow.
And from there we go.
Love that. That you hit that. What pleases Jesus is, I was just telling my wife the other night, we are so rich. Why? Because I believe my wife and I are in unity. We have kids and grandkids. Yeah, we've got our problems, we've got issues, and it doesn't matter much of our circumstance, but we're able to have peace and joy living with Christ. And do we rest in that? Well, if you recognize that and sit there with your wife or with your friends or whoever and just soak it in that God is good, and know that you can live a life that it means something different when you look at it through the lens of Christ, for sure.
Steve, I've mentioned that you serve as a pastor at New Covenant Church.
Yes.
And you're working with men, with New Mexico Men of Honor, as co-chair with Dennis here. And New Mexico Men of Honor is also connected to Promise Keepers. And you love for men to go to the Promise Keepers events. But again, the whole purpose is to get men introduced to community and fellowship and to take back what they learn to their own churches, right? And to try to facilitate more men being together. Steve, as a pastor, you've said this to me on the show before, that it's harder to get men in community than women. And women seem to enjoy community, men not so much. And that's confusing to me, because all I did growing up in high school was be on teams. I was always with other men, other boys.
Yeah, huddle up, guys.
Yeah, exactly. And that was something that we really loved. I remember all those relationships with great joy and thankfulness. And yet, as soon as we graduate from high school, or maybe some opportunities for that to continue in college, but after that time, it seemed like it's gone.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I was the same way. I was very sports-oriented in high school, that was pretty much my life and my main interest. And you're very much on the money with that. But as we get into married life, I'm not really sure what it is, but we tend to isolate. Not every guy. I know that I was a believer for quite a long time and used to hear about the men's retreats and thought, I don't want to go to that. Hmm. And somebody pushed me and I finally went and I just realized what I had been missing. It was such a great experience to sit around with guys. And at the time, I really didn't know them at all. Hmm. But to this day, 30 years later, some of them are my closest brothers that I regularly get together with to talk over the important issues of my life and my family.
I need both of you to answer this question, and it's not really on my list, but when you start you're telling me you're talking to other men. You're not doing the locker room talk where we used to talk about the pretty girls and drinking beer and all that kind of stuff. You're talking about something else. What is that?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, what is it that, if we were to define the success, is to have that peace? Do you really have that peace when you lay your head down at night? And when you wake up in the morning, are you willing to get up and do what God has called you to do? Do you wake up and first thing you do is go over to your wife and pray a prayer over her before you leave? Those things are important.
So Dennis, talk to me about praying over your wife. What does that mean?
You know, I wasn't doing it very well at the beginning. I have a blended family, and my oldest son was not getting along with my wife very well, and so I mostly thought it was their fault until the C.B. Blankenship, I was in front of him, and he's a great minister of God, and he pointed his finger at me and said, hey, you know, you realize you're the problem. What do you mean I'm the problem? Well, do you pray over your family? Are you covering them? Are you reading the scripture to them? And I said, well, kind of. I mean, and my wife's shaking her head, no. But ever since that, I mean, that was a brick to the forehead to me of, yeah. And you know what? My marriage and my family did change. And I have since that day, and I don't know, it's 20 some odd years ago, that I, every day I leave, I first go over to the side of the bed, lay my hand on my wife and pray over her a blessing, a covering, that God would guide and direct her and bless her. That has been a huge, huge pivot point for my marriage since that day.
And I do something similar. I don't lay my hand on, because she'd probably sit up and whack me because she doesn't enjoy a early morning wake up. But standing at the foot of the bed and praying for my wife. And I think it's important how we pray for our wives, too. It's not, Lord, please help her to understand me and please help her to do the things that I want. It's not like that. It starts with thanking God for who she is and how she is and what a great gift that that she is to me and how grateful I am for that, and that God would protect her, that he would watch over her, and that he would guide her and draw her closer to him. And I, too, have just seen spectacular results, and I did it for a long, long time before I even ever mentioned it to Rose. And it's something that I recommend highly. Back to your original thing about, you know, back when we were in the locker room and, you know, talking about the girls, you made me think that, you know, if you're a mentor or a Bible teacher or a pastor, you do some coaching. And sometimes it's a little bit rah-rah, you know, but most of the time, it's sitting down with somebody and helping them realize that you have some incredible potential, but you're not tapping into it.
Amen.
You're not using it, and you're not allowing yourself to realize all the leadership ability, all the spiritual input that you could use to affect your family and those that you have influence over.
How much is the potential for shame keeping men from having relationships with other men? I know this about both of you because you've done it with all of us, all of our audience, everybody listening. You've told us about the sin in your life.
Yeah.
You've been very open. And what I don't know if people have figured out yet is God works miracles.
Amen.
When you confess your sin, there's no shame.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're freed. The you're not bound anymore by that.
Again, it's the opposite of what the world will tell you, right? Mm. You need to do things a certain way, but the Word of God says, no, if you give your life, you'll gain it. So what does that mean, give my life? Well, the more you give of yourself to Christ, you surrender things to Him. So there's a choice that we make every day. There's hundreds of choices that we make every day as soon as we wake up. Well, the choice to either honor God or go our own way. Well, I think it would be okay if I just did this because it's eye candy to me. Could be pornography. Could be. Well, right then and there at that moment of making a choice, are you going to allow the Spirit of God to help you make that choice? Are you going to call upon Him? Because He'll give you the strength to say no to that and something better towards Him. So I believe that God has given us all choices to be able to follow Him and have victory over all kinds of problems that are before us and in front of us. So that's why guys getting together, there's more strength in that, because we can, you know, we all have our blind spots, right?
But when you confess, if I were to confess to you sin, you know, probably the most prevalent sin in my life has been anger. Hmm. You know, like I don't really have road rage, but I still under my breath am mumbling about that guy that just cut in front of me. Yeah. And I'd so much like to just be free from even having that. I don't ride my road bike anymore. And the reason I don't is because I want to commit murder every single time I ride my bike on the street.
Yeah, and so many men have gotten to the point where they don't even think of anger as sin. It's just that, well, I'm just a guy.
No, they justify you know? It. Yeah,
they do.
I have this right. Yeah, that guy wronged me.
Just how I am. And I learned a hard lesson with my daughters, who I have three girls, all young adults now, and loved them very, very much. But I didn't realize that just my anger, and I never, you know, never laid a hand on them as teenagers or young adults, but they got to the point where just some of my words, some of my tones, some of what they called outbursts frightened them and upset them, and I didn't realize it until later, and damage had already been done. And here I'm just doing one of the things you just mentioned about, and that's publicly talking about a sin, a bad behavior, and it's embarrassing, but I don't want to be ashamed of it, because if I can share that, then somebody listening can say, oh, him too, huh?
Yeah.
And maybe somebody went the next step. Maybe they hit their wife or maybe they abused someone in another way. We're not ever saying these things are okay, but we're saying that it's okay to share this with a brother that you trust. Scripture tells us that there's great power in confessing our sins to others. God needs to be confessed to. We know that, but it's somehow harder to talk to a human being because they talk back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have to trust that they're not going to share this anywhere else, that it's just going to be between us. But if, as men, we can build up trust in a relationship with two or three guys, sometimes it might be four guys, that we can be transparent, that we can be honest. Where Dennis before, you know, talked about and said, well, gosh, I have a very good marriage, but that doesn't mean that we're not having problems. Oh, that doesn't mean we don't go through very difficult seasons. And I'm really trying to deal with something right now. Have you guys ever gone through it? That's tremendously powerful.
If I have a guy that says, well, I don't have any anger, you liar. Come on.
Yeah.
I have anger. I have... So we do biblical discipleship on Monday nights here at the church, and every disciplee, every man that I have talked to has anger issues. I don't care who you are, and I have anger issues as well. But we can all identify with all of the sinful things, but the answer is that we need each other to help recognize truth. And, hey, there's victory over this. Well, how? How did you do it? Well, it's what the Lord showed me through His Word. Mm-hmm. And then someone encouraged me through this. So that's how I see overcoming these ugly things that we're all gravitating to.
Steve Stucker and Dennis Popper are co-chairs for New Mexico Men of Honor. They have an event coming up. It's July 29th. That's a Saturday. And it's 9 to 11 in the morning at Grace Church. Grace Church is at 6901 San Antonio Drive Northeast. Saturday morning, July 29th, 9 to 11. Chip Lusko, who's actually a general manager of KLYT Radio and has been on the staff at Calvary for a long time, he's going to have a message entitled How to Change Your Life. Chip is really an amazing teacher.
Of course, yes.
You may recognize Chip Lusko. There's Levi Lusko, who is becoming an internationally known pastor up in Montana. Mm. His son Jesse Lusko is in Portland, Oregon, and has Counterculture Church up there. I mean, really gifted people.
Yeah.
And Chip has been through it. I mean, Chip isn't going to give you any pretenses. He's got some important things to say. He's going through a crazy trial right now in his own life.
Yeah,
fighting some cancer, and I'm sure he's going to talk about that a little bit. And it's just an opportunity for you, if you're listening now, love for you to go on the 29th. Do you have to register anything?
No, just come.
Just come. Yeah. There's going to be some burritos and coffee and other things.
Great fellowship.
Yeah, we're going to be back and talk more with Dennis and Steve about men getting together, men fellowshipping together, iron sharpens iron, the importance of that fellowship. And by the way, one of the things we'll talk about in our next segment is this is not leaving out women. In fact, it's for women.
Amen.
We'll be back right after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. In our second segment here, we're talking with Dennis Popper and Steve Stucker. They are co-chairs and have worked for a long time with New Mexico Men of Honor. Mm-hmm. Steve, I mentioned you're doing some pastoring. You also have Beds for Kids, which we've talked about that ministry. I love the Up Before the Sun Ministries, but it no longer is applicable. You get to sleep in
till
4:30.
Actually, it is. If you look at the spelling, it's Up Before the S-O-N. And I named the ministry with the idea that someday we will all stand up before the sun. And that is something that I want to be able to look forward to. And as I have left the TV station now, my new career is really going to be focused on that part of the ministry. It's a new branch beside Beds for Kids, and that's hopefully visiting a variety of churches, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, and around the state as a guest speaker, as a preacher, maybe filling in for somebody that needs a time off, a respite, and really looking forward to that. So it's kind of an exciting time. And I still am getting up before the sun and taking pictures of it most mornings.
I love that. I want to talk about women for a second, because sometimes people go, well, how come New Mexico Men of Honor doesn't allow women? Well, the truth is, this is actually for women. You want men to stand up and be better husbands, be better fathers, take their responsibility.
Yeah.
There are divorced men that need to take responsibility for their families, though they're divorced. I mean, there's a lot of people that just need encouragement, and they need to understand the contrary message. We've talked about that a little bit, that God's word has in comparison to what the culture says.
Yeah.
You have women behind the scenes that we don't even know about, Dennis. Who are they?
Yeah, you know, I really am glad when I hear a guy come up to me and say, hey, thank you so much that you're doing this. Well, God's doing this. Steve and I are just plugging into what God is already doing. We're trying to make a ministry out of where God is leading us. And I love it when men come and are blessed by the ministry. But when women come and tell me, and I've had several come and tell me, gosh, I'm just so glad you're doing this, because we need strong men to be able to know how to treat a woman and be a husband, be a family man, be a good man for the community. And so through our kinship, we've had women invite other women from other churches, other places around the city to come help serve at New Mexico Men of Honor when we get food out in front of guys. And they've done that for several of our events. And it's been a great ministry because after that, then they go to a room and they pray for us and they have fellowship amongst themselves. And there's been 12, 15, 18 women that do this. And it's been a little ministry that's spurred off of that. So praise God for that.
Steve, contrast for me, if you will, New Mexico Men of Honor is not necessarily about men that have already been to church. It's actually reaching out to people that may have never been to church.
Oh, yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
And how's it different to tell people that have never been to church before about Jesus compared to ministering to people in the church? That's a lot different.
Yeah, every single conversation can be different, and you have to be prepared to follow along with whatever the circumstances lead you to. But basically, Jesus is a great unknown to so many people in the world, and if they know anything about him, it's probably not truth. It's probably what the world has told them or what they've heard through the grapevine, what they've seen on television. You know, I'm constantly shaking my head. I don't watch television a lot, but when I do, if there's a Christian or a Christian family on that show, they're almost invariably portrayed in a very negative light. Either they're downright evil, or they're very stupid, or they're just, you know, really totally out of touch. And in going around the state, I don't see that. I see a totally different picture. So it really depends on where somebody is coming from. A lot of times people will come to you and they've heard a little bit about God. A lot of times people were hurt by the church when they were growing up, or they feel they were mistreated or they misunderstood something. There's 100, probably more like 1,000 different reasons why people leave the church. I myself did. I was born and raised in the church and ran away kicking and screaming when I was 12 or 13 years old, just because I wanted to be cool and have fun and party. Hmm. And girls came into the picture and boom, and I was gone. And I did not come back, and I'm ashamed of it, but I didn't come back to the church until I was 33 years old. Hmm. So I have a lot of sympathy and understanding and empathy for people that have left the church. Mm. But when they express any interest at all, I think it's incumbent on us as men of honor to be able to listen to them, to accept their complaints or their questions, and then to help them to understand who Jesus really is and what he's about and how they can get back into the church so that they and their families will benefit.
Yeah, that's great.
Would you say that men are better or worse parents today than men were 40 years ago?
Wow.
Maybe it's not a fair question.
No, I don't know.
Fair to our fathers.
Yeah. You know, the discipline of the 50s and 60s definitely seemed different in the 2000s. To me, what I've been around. But I'm glad that Chip Lesko is going to talk about this. You know, he's really where's dad type of, that's the angle he's coming from, is he's talking about where are the men? Are they standing up for truth? And, you know, I'm excited because Chip sent a text to me. He goes, man, I am so excited about what the Lord has given me for a message. So I'm like in anticipation of what is he going to talk about? What does the Lord want to express through Chip? Because Chip has been around the corner. He has seen a lot, and he has lived a lot. And I know that God has spoke to him, and he's going to have a great message for us. So we're excited for him to come and speak to us on that Saturday at the end of July.
Chip has been a very powerful and influential mentor to me over the past 3 or 4 years. And that has meant so much for somebody of his knowledge and biblical wisdom and experience to speak into my life and to say, Steve, you have this ability. You need to get out. You need to teach more. You need to share more. You need to have the confidence to push yourself out there. And for him to come and speak to our men at this time in his life when he is battling a very, very deadly form of cancer, when he's going through chemo and is scheduling surgery and dealing with everything in such a powerfully positive way, easiest thing in the world would have been to say, hey, thanks, guys, but I have this little cancer thing going on.
Yeah.
But no, Chip stepped up, and he's stepping out, and I think this just may be the best message that we've ever heard for our men.
I can't help but think, Steve, there are men right now listening that may be experiencing depression. They may be going through something like a disease or a divorce or something. And what you're talking about Chip Lusko doing is serving while he's going through it.
That's right. And no excuses.
That changes people. Like if you're facing depression, it may seem contrary, but if you go serve other people, it'll change your life.
Amen.
And especially if you're serving them in the name of the Lord.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's great to go out and pick up, you know, trash or to go down to the animal shelter or all kinds of wonderful things that you can do. But when you're out there working in the kingdom and really focusing on being an important part of the harvest, and there's nothing like it.
Yeah, I love the message that no matter how many steps away you take from God, there's only one step back to Him. I don't care how much you've messed up. I don't care how many times you've fallen down. I don't care if you hate God right now. It just takes one step back to Him, and He is there for you. He will show you the truth, and He will love you because He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. So that's the message. That's what we're trying to bring in unity in the state of New Mexico, is that come together, guys. We're not going to let churches separate us.
And because whatever you're going through right now, maybe your life is great. Come. Because it probably won't always be great. Or you know what? Maybe you can give us all your secret and help share with those of us who could use some tips.
Yeah.
But there's always trouble on the horizon, and it doesn't really matter what situation you're in right now. We're all going to need each other down the road. And this is just an excellent opportunity, because I promise there's somebody else at this get together that's going through the same thing you are or has already gone through it. And that's where we're able to live out 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 5, where the scripture explains that God will be our source of comfort and peace during our most difficult times. And then down the road, when we're better, He'll use that experience for us to point somebody else towards the comfort and peace of God's love.
Don't be that guy that, oh man, you should have been there. You wouldn't believe what Chip said and what the Spirit of God did there. So get another guy, bring him with you. Let's hear what God has to say through Chip. I think it's going to be incredible.
July 29th.
That's right.
Grace Church. Grace Church is right over off of San Antonio, 6901 San Antonio Drive Northeast. Saturday morning, July 29th, it'll be from 9 to 11. Chip Lusko's message is entitled, How to Change Your Life. Go to nmmenofhonor.com for more information if you need to. And we've got two more segments with these guys. We'll be back after these messages. I hope you'll stay with us.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
We're back with Steve Stucker and Dennis Popper. They are co-chairs of the New Mexico Men of Honor, and it's an organization associated with Promise Keepers. Is there a Promise Keepers event this summer, Dennis?
They've got three going, not this summer, but this year. And so they are going to have them at churches. So they're growing this through churches. So a big church in New York, I believe, and Oklahoma, and I forget the other one, but they're going to have men get together and start from there and start growing it back again.
Well, several times in our last two segments, you all have talked about prayer. And I think there's a lot of people that think prayer might be, well, I'm going to hope this doesn't fall on deaf ears. I'm just going to say a prayer. I think people don't realize the power and the reality of prayer. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Why did Jesus go by himself and pray so much? It says that a lot in the Bible, that Jesus went off by himself and he prayed. Why does he need to pray? And so he even taught us how to pray, right? He showed us the verses of how to come to the Lord, let your will be done. So I've seen so many things happen by first praying and then going out. If I go out and forget to pray, I don't seem to have such an anchor. I don't have such a great vision. I don't have all of the things that I feel like I need to have until I pray first. And so every event that we have, we pray a lot over this, because we're not just doing this for like an Elks Club or a just guys getting together. We want to see God move. We don't want to go out before God. We want God to go out before us. And so, yes, prayer has a lot to do with what God is. He has called us to ask him. Just like if you open your Bible and you just read, well, you can just read to read, or you can ask the Spirit of God to show you his truths that will affect your life.
And you mentioned something that made me snap on getting out in front of the behavior. And you mentioned Jim Road Rage, you know, is nothing like, Lord, I'm getting ready for the morning commute, and you know how I can be, and help me to recognize that this guy may be rushing his wife to the hospital, or this young man may be afraid he's going to lose his job. Help me to be mentally prepared to pray for people instead of cursing them. If we can get out in front of the behaviors that we might expect from ourselves or from others with a difficult meeting. Lord, I've got a business meeting coming up, and I know this man's probably not going to be happy with what I have to tell him, but help me to talk to him in a spirit, again, that pleases Jesus, that reflects who I am and how I am through you. So prayer can be powerful in so many different circumstances.
I love it when somebody texts me, hey, God just put you on my heart. I'm praying for you. Wow, I love that. There's nothing better than that.
But guys, I have to, I apologize. I'm so limited in my ability to do analogies, but I can't help but think of another athletic analogy. You're talking about preparation.
Yeah.
You're preparing your heart. Just like you would learn how to play defense against a player that you're about to play basketball against or football. You have to go through certain drills and develop strength. And this preparation is not really different than that, is it? Except it's supernatural.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that in the Word of God, it talks a lot about supernatural things, not by might, not by strength, but by His, not by power, but by His strength. And so we're talking about that. I'm not praying so that I can see things move or do something weird in front. No, I'm praying that in the spiritual realm that God will do what He said He's going to do to prepare others' hearts so that when I say something, they'll be able to receive it, which I don't understand that. I don't pretend to understand that. I just know that it's true, and God wants us to have communion and relationship with Him through prayer.
And this is just one type of prayer. There are so many different kinds. Mm-hmm. You talked about, you know, texting and saying, hey, you're on my heart. I'm praying for you. I love when that happens. I try to do it when God makes me think of someone else. Pastor Skip, many, many decades ago, taught me through his sermons, when somebody says, hey, would you pray for me? Don't just say, yes, I will. Say, well, let's do it right now.
Yeah.
And you put your hand on their shoulder and you bow your heads and you do it right then at that very moment. There's great power in that. And they feel so edified and they feel so important. And it also, I think, plants something in our brain that it's not just another one of the many things we're going to forget about during the day. You prayed for someone, you communed with our Creator with them for those few moments. And I have to tell you, Jim, the station allowed me to do a Thank You New Mexico tour for 2 months around the state. We drove over 4,000 miles, and I think we made 38 different stops. And it was so beautiful for me in a way that I did not expect, and that was spiritually. I had so many people in all over the state come up and say, Steve, I've prayed for you for so many years. I had so many others come up and say, you prayed for me. I emailed you one time and you called and we prayed on the phone, or we met at a football game and I mentioned something and you prayed with me. And God just brought to mind so many hundreds of things that I didn't even have any recollection of until they brought them up, and it all centered around the subject of prayer. It's incredibly powerful.
I love it when people I've had a lot of people that don't believe in God would ask, hey, will you pray for me? You know, there's a lot of people just love it that you pray for them. Why? Because, well, maybe there is a God. Well, we know that there is. And I think that deep down in their heart, they know it as well.
Yeah, right? And you, I'm sorry. when we bless families with beds from Beds for Kids, mm-hmm. we always, as part of the procedure, ask, is it okay? May we pray for you? And if, you know, if they say yes, we ask if they have any special needs, and we just very sincerely pray. But every once in a while, there's somebody that says, oh no, I wouldn't be comfortable with that. To which me and my smart mouth, I just usually say, oh, that's okay, no worries. We'll just pray for you after you go.
There you go.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is, if we would just observe the world around us, you would have to believe in prayer, because I think so many people are walking today with blinders. And my next question is, do you think men in particular, because this is a ministry to men, New Mexico Men of Honor, are they losing the ability, are we losing the ability to discern between good and evil?
Wow. Well, I would say that evil is cranking up. And, you know, I think it is, there's a lot more to see right now to be able to, I ask a friend, hey, what do you think? Is that true or not? And it's not as easy as it used to be, at least for me. I have to get on my knees. Mm-hmm. I have to pray about it. I have to get counsel about that. I have to read the word. Yeah, that is evil. That is wrong. That is good. I'm able to, I think, do a better job as long as my heart is right, my motive is right, and I can truly see right from wrong. But boy, I'll tell you what, it is. I think there's a lot more gray out there in this world than there used to be.
But I don't think so much we're losing the ability to discern between good and evil, but we're losing the willingness. Yeah. And that is where we have to be courageous. I was just reading the book of Joshua this past week in my Bible study time, and how many times he says, be brave and courageous, do not be afraid. And it's repeated over and over, and we forget that. And that doesn't mean we have to be jerks. We can speak the truth and do it in love. Yeah. Jesus always did that. He talked with people that were very sinful, but he spoke to them in kindness and in gentleness, and he showed them the error of their ways without yelling and screaming, without pointing fingers, without coming across like the Pharisees at the same time were doing. So a lot of times it's just having the courage and the boldness to know what is wrong and to be able to stand up against it. And there's a lot of different ways to stand up. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily always have to take up a picket sign and a bullhorn and be on the corner screaming at people. I think that it's much more effective in today's world to talk with people one-on-one or in small groups. And again, to bring it back around to why we're here, New Mexico Men of Honor is really designed, our dream, and we're certainly not there yet, but our goal is to bring men together so they can look around the room and say, gosh, I feel so alone sometimes at work, like I'm the only guy who really wants to serve the Lord. But look at all these men and listen to what they're saying. Hmm. I can do this. I can be stronger. I can be more courageous. I can stand up in the face of evil and not be afraid.
Amen.
You know, Proverbs 3 talks about binding kindness and truth around your neck. Hmm. And so I've been really kind of on a crusade that I see all these political commentators. And many times the conservative commentators make fun of the progressives. And they're not necessarily wrong in their message, but they're totally wrong in their presentation because everything they say is unkind. And then on the other side, I look at what the progressives are saying, and there's nothing logical about it. It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
And here's what I mean. When you look at the economy of the United States, nobody does this anymore, but remember when you had to balance your checkbook? you actually wrote down the checks that you wrote and those kind of things. Now it's kind of all done automatically through the bill pays and all these different things, so you can constantly keep track of your balance. You can even print up a report as to what you spent money on. You know, that's kind of developed over the last 20 or 30 years. But my point is, there's not 20 different ways to manage money.
Yeah.
There's the right way.
Yeah.
And there's the wrong way.
Right.
And you got to spend less money than you make. That's an interesting thing that the government should learn.
Yeah.
Because that's something we have to base our own personal finances on, right? And there's other things. There's, you know, principles of saving, principles of giving and living generously. Mm-hmm. Those are all biblical principles. And I think that men need to be around other men that are trying to do it right.
Yeah. Yeah. I got rebuked by my kids. This pandemic thing and everything, I was just getting riled up. I was getting mad. I was getting upset at what was going on. And I felt like I was getting lied to by the media, this and that. And so I was expressing that with my kids out of anger. Mm-hmm. And my oldest, who's in ministry, was able to sit down with me and say, "Dad, this seems to be going to a different level with you." And, you know, I think most families out there have had to deal with this. I mean, it's been a splitting apart and trying to figure out what's true, what's not true. And it's been opinionated like crazy. But I finally started to understand what my son was trying to tell me, and I backed off and I took a second look at things and, okay, God, I know I'm starting to get riled up about this. Help me in my heart, Lord, and my motive behind what I'm saying to people. And it's getting better. I still have a long way to go, but I know that God is able, through brothers, we can talk about it and find the truth of something. We can look at it together, pray over it, and find the truth that way.
And it's not always such a huge divide as, you know, as between the conservatives and the progressives. A lot of times it's right in our own home.
That's right.
You know, Rose and I love each other, and we're in our, mm-hmm. a 30-year mark in our marriage. And I think we're at the deepest love and relationship mm-hmm. that we've ever had. We've been very blessed, especially the past couple of years. But there's not a day goes by that we don't disagree about something.
Yeah.
And it's the old, you have to learn how to disagree without being disagreeable. And you can make your point. You don't have to change the other person's mind that very moment. Mm-hmm. And if we can gently and kindly express our thoughts, then very often after they've had time to think about it, and I'm not mm-hmm. just referring to our wives, but our children, especially our young adult children, because, oh my gosh, they're getting hit so hard at yeah. school and in college that everything they learned about God and scripture and truth is fairy tales. And they want to come home and exert their independence. And we can scream and yell, get upset mm-hmm. and turn up the TV yeah. forever. But that's not going to change them. It's just going to push them further away. And yeah. again, trying, and I struggle with it all the time, but trying to do it more in the manner that Jesus did. You know, John the Baptist yelled and screamed and called yeah. people names, and he was pretty effective.
Eight bugs.
but Jesus, who loved John and exemplified him as a wonderful man, Jesus had a totally different style, and I think that's what we need to be searching for.
Here's a question coming from a person that me, who has total relationship fail across the board, divorced after 26 years. Here's my question. Have you both mastered the ability to listen to your wives without necessarily offering advice?
There's a joke about how big and how wide a freeway do you want built over the ocean? To be able to understand a woman and then a woman to say the same thing about a man, I'm sure. But I, you know, that again, I really believe that God will speak to you. If you ask, Lord, help me understand my wife's needs. I read a book that talked about this cycle you get in, and you can't get out of this evil cycle. But to understand that the wife needs love and the man needs respect.
Yeah, love and respect.
Love and respect. There you go.
Dr. Emerson Eggerich.
Yeah.
Great
that,
book. Yeah.
That transformed me, my thinking about what my wife needs. So, I need to focus on how I can love her in the way that she'll receive it, not the way I want to give it. So that's been a big blessing to read that book and understand more about that.
And to your the point of your question, I don't think for most of us it's natural to really listen to what our wives are saying. And there's a difference between hearing and listening. Mm. And a lot of times it might not be something that seems that important. She may be talking about a great sale that she came across and how much money she saved when she spent $500.
I should say this right now. This is a disclaimer for Rose.
No, she's taught me a lot about it, you know. No, but you know, there are times when we just need to show them our love and our care and our concern by just listening to them, because there are important things, and they're talking to us because they consider us close and they want us to be their friend. They want us to be connected. And it's not something that's always easy for us. I had a pastor friend, I won't mention his name, but he told me that sometimes I just sit there and I shake my head, and about every 3 minutes I say, "Oh, that's terrible. Oh, I can't imagine that." Oh, but no, it has to go beyond that. I mean, you know, we need to be able to put our own wants and needs aside. Missing 10 minutes of SportsCenter is a fair trade, mm-hmm, if our wife is happy and feels like we spent some time talking with each other.
I love seeing a great marriage to be able to emulate that. I love to see somebody taking care of their wives. That teaches me something. I love being around godly guys to see how they act and react.
I had a really beautiful, unexpected situation this past weekend. I have a young man that was released from federal prison. And he was with me this weekend as he's getting resettled into a live-in program. He's down at Steel Bridge now. Great, great community, faith-based program we have. But he heard me several times on the phone having conversations with Rose. And I was asking, you know, what she wanted to do, and we were trying to decide some plans. And he goes, "Well, this might sound kind of weird, but are you always like that? Do you always, you know, ask what she wants? I mean, I've never heard husbands and wives dealing with each other. All I ever heard was cursing and screaming. And, well, I'm just going to do this, or you go do this, or, you know." And it was really touching, because I was just interacting with my wife. I wasn't trying to put on any kind of a show. And believe me, I'm far from being the golden example of how husbands should be. But to him, it was eye-opening. And I know that he's going to remember that. I told him, "Why would you not want a woman that you would ask the opinion of? If you're going to marry someone, you can be the leader of the family, but you're not going to be a good leader if you don't go to her for input and advice and ask her to share her feelings and her opinions and to weigh in on every decision that's made, whether it's going to dinner or selling the house and moving to a different state."
Yeah. God created us in a certain way. Wouldn't you want to know how he would want us to treat a wife?
Yes.
And so if we go to the Word of God, we will find the answers to that. And I've appreciated the fact of how well Skip takes care of Lenya and how he shows that. And that, I don't know if he understands how much we all are watching.
Sure.
But that has definitely been a ministry, just that alone. And other great marriages that are here in the church or out in the community, that a guy that really has it down and he honors and loves his wife. I love to see that, and I love to go like, "Wow, I need to change this and this, start doing this."
What if you've been fighting and angry and your marriage is falling apart? You've even thought about divorce. Have you ever seen anybody come back from the brink of that and have a successful marriage?
Oh, yeah. You're looking at one here. I mean, Rose and I laugh all the time. We're a miracle date today. We made every mistake in the book getting married. We hardly knew each other, and we weren't little kids. We knew better. But we got carried away, and there were tough times along the way, and you know, different periods when we went to see marriage counselors and times when we just didn't like each other very much. But yeah, it does come back. And I mentioned just a little bit ago, I'm so grateful that we fought through the hard times. I'm not saying there won't be more around the corner, but we're at a place now where, gosh, I cherish her so much. I wrote down a scripture for her the other day that, when I was doing my reading in Proverbs, that a worthy wife is a crown for her husband, and I wrote that down, and
that's
I just
great.
Said, "You make me feel like king of the world."
Because
she does, and we're not these perfect lovebirds. We're both smart alecks with big mouths, and we can argue and disagree, but there's this love, and so yeah, you know, coming back from the brink is really what Jesus is all about.
Yeah. Dennis, one more time, the event's on the 29th. Give us the details.
That's right. It's a Saturday, the end of July, the last Saturday of July. It's going to be at 9 o'clock at San Antonio. It's going to be Grace Church on San Antonio. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so thankful for Aaron Giesler to open that church up for us. We're going to be able to have lots of guys. There's plenty of room, and we're excited about that. You know, he believes in the ministry, and he said, hey, whatever you guys need, I'm here for you. And same thing with Chip. Chip has really opened himself. He said, Dennis, whatever you need, if we can help you in any way at the radio station. I am so thankful for what God is doing in this ministry. And Steve, it's been great for him and I to grow in relationship and see what God is doing. So I would not want to miss what Chip has to say on that Saturday. Like Steve had mentioned before, we don't know if this could be his last one or whatever, but we know that he has a great message, and all of the knowledge that this guy has, it's going to be incredible to hear what God is going to speak through him. So don't miss it.
Chip is not planning on this being his last one. I tell you what, he has victory in his mind.
You never know.
And every time I throw my leg over my Harley Davidson, I think it could be my last ride. So I know where you're coming from. But Jim, this is the first time that we've moved to Saturday morning. We've done 4 years. October will be 4 years with this ministry. They've always been on Friday nights, and we thought, you know what? Let's change it up. Let's see if it's not conducive for some other guys to come. And we're gonna go with the Saturday morning time frame for a while and see what happens.
Yeah. If you are a woman and you're listening right now, you are a girlfriend or a wife or even an ex-spouse, get the men in your life to this meeting, because they're going to be encouraged.
You know, you can go to nmmenofhonor.com and just put in the info, put your husband's info there, and I'll send them an email with this flyer, and I'll even send them a little promo with Chip Lesko on there talking about, hey, what we're going to do, what we're going to speak about. So go to nmmenofhonor.com, and on the info, it'll tell you, just put in his information.
Gentlemen, I'm always blessed to see both of you. I don't get to see you enough. Hopefully we'll get to do this more frequently. New Mexico Men of Honor doing events like this quarterly, trying to bring men from all churches and particularly people that haven't been to church before. This is a way for you to find out a little bit without maybe getting stuck in the middle of some religious thing that you're uncomfortable with. But I'll tell you right now, as soon as you meet men that are going to be open with you about things that are going on, they'll even confess sins that they've had in their lives and maybe even be dealing with presently. You're going to just see how God changes people through your life. And here's the, I think, the most amazing thing. You may be feeling inadequate. You may be feeling like you've let everybody down. You may feel like the number one failure in the world. God will use all that weakness for his strength in someone else's life if you just let it.
Absolutely. Amen. You know, you look at every single hero in the Bible except for Jesus, and they had terrible failures, poor choices, horrible mistakes, but God redeemed them and he used them in powerful and mighty ways. And so that is a perfect beacon. It's a flashing light of hope for us as men to aim towards and swim in that direction.
Amen.
Thank you guys for joining us on ABQ Connect.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.